We're celebrating, of course, Memorial Day today, and I just wanted to talk about it for a few minutes. I won't hold you very long. I know you probably have a lot of plans today. Many people see it as a day off tomorrow, a three-day weekend, reason to cook out and have friends over. But for those who have lost someone because of war or military action, it means much more than a day off. And for America, it certainly does mean a lot. In fact, every American ought to recognize this day and honor those who gave their lives to make America great. What it is today, free, strong, and a nation that's still worth fighting for. We have the right to live at peace in our homes because of those who died. We have the right to pursue peace, prosperity, and happiness because of those who gave their lives. We need to thank God for those who died to make us free. So I'd like to talk just briefly about three points. Number one, mourning the loss of those who died. Number two, remembering their lives. And number three, thankfulness for their sacrifice. Today we honor the memory of those who gave the ultimate to protect our way of life and the freedoms that are built on the blood they spilled. They may have not known at the time that that's what they were dying for, but certainly that is. They may have thought what they were doing had little effect, but I can tell you their deaths shadow every freedom that we have in the United States. We go to any other country and watch the restrictions they have, and then look at what we have in comparison. Go to any other country and observe. I can remember, I was just thinking this morning about being in Mexico, and about every 10 or 15 miles we were boarded by militia with automatic rifles, checking to see that everyone had their passport and their visas. And other countries that I've been in. Even in this stressful atmosphere that we find ourselves in because of the political hacks and the newsmen that think they know what they're talking about, America has what many never will, a freedom born on the backs of our war dead. And I paused this morning to give them the thankfulness that's due them. Almost 1.2 million lives have been lost in wars in America. Many more worldwide. As we prepare today to remember those, and this weekend, who died for our country, it's important to remember the one who died to let us be free from our sins. Jesus fought the armies of hell so that we might have the liberty in His name. His desire is to see all come to Him. I read from 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's that kind of spirit that we think about of the men and women that have died in combat, to give people the right to burn the flag, to speak against our leadership, to mock our leadership, to have freedom of speech and freedom of press. It's because of the death. They're not willing that any would be, our country is not willing that any would be muffed, but that they would speak. We defend the right of free speech. Maybe the attitude hasn't been so good, but it's very difficult when you say that people can be free and then allow them to be free. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, the Scripture says, and He died for our freedom. But He gave us a choice whether we want to be free or not. The death of Christ on the Roman cross, with no thought for His own life, gives us pause to reflect on the multitudes that did just that in our great country. In fact, every week is a celebration of the memorial of Christ that set the standard. Every Sunday is a memorial day for the Christian. In light of Christ's battle, let's take a closer look at our memorial in Him as we recognize the likeness of our celebration of those who served in the military. Number one, on Memorial Day, we mourn their loss. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 12. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. That's the attitude that those who died as well, nothing can replace their lives, but we can determine to live and defend the freedoms they died for. We need to be bold and confident. I fear that the coming generations have forgotten what great cost of blood and lives are the foundation of the freedoms that they so look past. We need to exercise the freedoms to worship, pray, and speak out against injustices. I understand that, but let us make a conscious effort to show forth the love of God to all. Every time we get a chance, we want to be talking to our young people and the generations coming about the importance of our love. It was love that drove Christ to the cross. It was love for country that many gave their lives. There's a cost for freedom. That cost is very expensive. And we need to learn to love again as people. We enjoy so many freedoms. We're so spoiled in America. Just drove 12 hours down to, about 12 hours down to see my daughter this last week. I was vacationing and spending time with my grandchildren. And I realized how very spoiled they are. Very spoiled they are. And I didn't help much. Everything they asked for, if I could possibly do it, I did it. My wallet's a little thinner, but my heart is bigger. But we need to learn to love. Love deals with the person, not the attitude. Young people are the way they are because of the way they were raised many times. Love shows others, even the hostile, that someone genuinely cares, and we need to exercise that. We've done enough of the other. Let's begin to love. The presence of truth is not the absence of love. We need to know how to tell the truth in a spirit of love. Love does not seek its own. Reading from the Message Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, allow me to read that to you in the Message. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy but don't have love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all His mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even to go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't have love, I've gotten nowhere. So, no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything. Trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing Him directly just as He knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, I hope unswervingly. Love extravagantly, and the best of the three is love. Folks, I submit to you that because of the blood of Jesus Christ who ultimately died for all of us, and because of this setting aside today, this celebration, the remembrance of those that died, we owe it to them to learn to love again. To soften our hearts again. In a country divided, it is up to us to speak of the unity God desires. Nothing should surprise us anymore. If you're surprised anymore, you must have be hiding 6 days a week except church. Anything goes in today's society. Everything will go in today's society. It'll only probably get worse in many sectors. So we should not be as surprised or aghast or angry or condemning. We should love. No greater love than this, Jesus said, than a man lay down his life for his friends. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Did you say, well, I love my brothers. I love my sisters in the church. How many know? The human race, they may be stepbrothers, but they're brothers. Come on, someone. You need to learn to love them. The Bible says that without that, we're murderers. But I say to you here in Luke 6:27, Jesus says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. I wonder how many of us are exercising those things. Then in verse 35, he says, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Listen, we oftentimes say, well, I already give to, out of my taxes, I give to those that can't work. That doesn't count. The government takes your money and gives it to you. I don't like that any more than you do. Now, this is talking about giving to somebody out of your, sometimes even out of your need. Personally giving something out of your net. We already give. God knows we already give enough out of our gross. It's quiet in here. But see, when we give, even to our enemies, the only eye that we care about seeing is the Lord. He sees. Amen? He sees. Very difficult. But it can be done. Secondly, we remember the lives of those who have passed. Turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. We remember their lives. Behold, two of them, in verse 13, were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. He said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? The one of those name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happen there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we are hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken.'" The disciples that saw Jesus were very emotional about his loss. They didn't even realize it was him. But I wonder, sometimes when we look back at those that have given their lives for this country, we mourn their loss, but we also can rejoice of the outcome of that loss. For those who know Jesus, we'll get to see them someday. Come on, someone. And I believe God's grace and mercy is particularly on those who have fought in wars. One of them was Lieutenant Jack Birkebau. I'd like to read, this is my father-in-law. And I want to give honor to him this morning. "The President of the United States of America takes pride in presenting the Silver Star to Lieutenant Jack Birkebile, United States Navy, for conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity in action while serving in the Republic of Vietnam. On the evening of 23rd November 1968, Lieutenant Birkebile, as officer in charge of River Division 552, deployed three patrol boats in the area of a suspected Viet Cong River crossing point. After supervising preparations, which included stationing a mobile ground reaction force nearby and arranging for air cover by armed Navy helicopters, he took personal charge of the patrol and proceeded to the suspected crossing area. As the patrol neared the spot where Lieutenant Birkebau had been ambushed two nights before, he directed all boats to assume maximum readiness and personally took a position from which he could see and direct the fire of his unit. Suddenly, heavy fire broke out from both banks. Seeing that there was no room to maneuver in the narrow canal, he led his units through the ambush despite extremely heavy fire from rockets and machine guns. From his exposed position, he called in air cover and directed devastating fire from the guns of his units until mortally wounded by an enemy rocket. Lieutenant Birkebile's heroic actions, sense of responsibility, and devotion to duty were in keeping with the highest traditions of the United States Naval Service. Lieutenant Birkebile took the place of another man on that boat who needed some rest. He told him to go downstairs and get a rest in the belly of the boat. And he stood on deck and ended up giving his life for that. And we mourn his passing. We mourn his death. But I also rejoice, because if not for him, I wouldn't be married to the sweetest lady in the land. He left behind a wife and six children. And yes, I understand that we grieve their loss, but also what they died for, the freedoms that we have as a result. Just spent the week with wonderful grandchildren who would have never been here had it not been for Lieutenant Jack Birkebau. Although my grandson is a little bit hurt because I beat him in basketball once. The headstones we put on the graves are a testimony of those people who were here. I looked up some things that are on gravestones. "Gone too soon. Dear parents, though we will miss you, we know you rest with God. Safe in the arms of Jesus," one headstone said. "Faithful unto death, gone but not forgotten." Another one says, "Go, Spirit, go thy way at rest, asleep in Jesus." Yet another one says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Life's work well done, she rests in peace." All of these messages tell us a little about the one who is buried under that headstone. What must we remember about Jesus in His epitaph? He's alive. He died for us, but He's alive. The answer is that He would like us to remember how He lived and what He taught through His life while on earth. And that He's very much alive now and still speaking those same things. He set an example of how to live in love. Our life should reflect that love. And finally today, we remember and are thankful for the sacrifice of those who served in the military. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes.'" It's wonderful that we set aside Memorial Day to honor the war dead. But we should remember them more often than that. Every time we draw a free breath, every time we're able to travel from place to place without restraint, every time we ought to remember that they laid down their lives for that. Jesus said, "As oft times as you come together and eat, think of Me." Think of the death and My ultimate resurrection. The love that He showed during that time is just astounding to me. The way He even took communion with Him who would betray Him. We do this day to remember those who died. It was a few weeks before Christmas 1917. The beautiful snowy landscapes of Europe were blackened by war. The trenches on one side held the Germans, and on the other side, the trenches were filled with Americans. It was World War I. The exchange of gunshots and gunfire was intense. Separating them was a very narrow strip of no man's land. A young German soldier attempting to cross that no man's land had been shot and became entangled in the barbed wire. He cried out in anguish, and then in pain, he continued to whimper. Between the shells and all the Americans in that sector, they could hear him screaming. When one American soldier could stand it no longer, he crawled to that German soldier. When the Americans saw him low crawling to the German soldier, they stopped firing, but the Germans continued to shoot. Then a German officer realized what the young American was doing, and he ordered his men to cease fire. Now there was a weird silence across the no man's land. On his stomach, the American made his way to that German soldier and disentangled him. He stood up with the German in his arms, walked straight to the German trenches, and placed him in the waiting arms of his comrades. Having done so, he turned and started back to the American trenches. Suddenly, there was a hand on his shoulder that spun him around. There stood a German officer who had won the Iron Cross, the German highest honor for bravery. He jerked it from his own uniform and placed it on the American, who walked back to the American trenches. Only when he was safely in the trenches did they resume the insanity of war. That German soldier was thankful for that American soldier's sacrifice. We remember those who die, selfishly giving their lives, putting themselves in harm's way, and giving the ultimate. But you know, Jesus did the same thing for us. He rescued us and gave us all that's His. He won the highest of medals, eternal life. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, John 3:17 says, but that through Him the world might be saved. There are many that are caught in the barbed wire of sin, that are screaming in anguish, and the war for their soul is very real. Who amongst us will leave the safety of the life that God has blessed us with and go after the lost? Who among us will risk our very life to save those who need them? That's the call that is upon our lives. Greater love, Scripture says, has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. All the heroic acts done on the battlefields through history have made our country what it is today. We are free, we are wealthy, and we are respected around the world. Still, I don't know if you saw our president traveling to Saudi Arabia and Israel and the rest, but he's respected around the world. Not so much in Washington. He's respected around the world. He's honored around the world, but in Washington, they're mocking him. That's okay. I believe God's anointed him, but the last leg of his trip, he stopped to be with our troops and told them that he would always have their back. It's been a while since we heard a president say that. I am proud to be an American. I have the luxury of this country because great men and women have died to give me what I have. The price Jesus paid afforded us salvation. We have the promise of salvation, and we did nothing to afford this luxury. We have the promise of freedom. We live in freedom, and many of us never did anything for that freedom. We exercise the right to vote. We exercise the right to have an opinion. But today we honor those who took all of that and said, I'll take it aside and I'll throw my body in harm's way so that my family and my countrymen might live in freedom. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for those who have passed, Lord. We thank you that those that received you are in your arms, God, today. The 1.2 million that have died, Lord, we thank you for their blood. They risked the ultimate so that we might have what we have. God, we ask that you be with each family that have lost loved ones today. Lord, that you comfort them in their spirit, Lord, in their heart today, God. Lord, we pray for those that are in harm's way. Even today, we pray for our military that is dispatched throughout the world, God. We pray, oh God, that not one more life would be taken, Father. We know that that might take place, but God, we thank you for protection, your protection upon each and every soldier that's serving in the military right now. But Father, we also thank you and give you glory for those that have died. And Lord, ultimately we thank you for your shed blood. For the joy set before you, Jesus, you endured the cross. We thank you for that ultimate sacrifice. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.